Just think that because you've got a little liberty that other people have, don't have, that you're equipped to do that. No, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If it wasn't important, why did Jesus say, stay there until you're endued with power from on high? In Acts 1:4, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So now we go into question number 10. How many people were present in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? I guess most of you would say 120. You're almost right. The Bible says about 120. So it might have been 119, might have been 121, more or less. But about 120 people were there. Now we have, I think, way more than 120 people here tonight. But let's say there were 120 of here tonight, that all of a sudden were filled with the Holy Ghost. In our case, refilled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost just moved over this auditorium. And we all started speaking in tongues. And we weren't out of order. We were decent and in order. Wouldn't that be an experience? How many of you have seen 120 or more get the Holy Ghost at one time? I haven't. I haven't seen it. I've seen it on video. Dr. Billy Cole, Brother Billy Cole, preaching in Ethiopia. I think we even showed it here. Was it 80,000 that received the Holy Ghost all in one sweeping move of the Lord Jesus upon them? But anyway, wouldn't it be exciting if all 120 people here tonight were just filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah, and they were all in one accord. We'd have to get in one accord first, and God could do it. It's happened here at Pentecostal Assembly. I remember, I told you over and over, the Holy Ghost fell over in that other building at 7:05. Nobody moved. Not a child went to the restroom. Nothing for an hour and 55 minutes, nearly 2 hours. It was absolutely wonderful. Everybody was in one accord. We were all in one mind. We had Jesus on our minds, and it happened. And it can happen again, and it can happen again. You know, tonight's service, or last Sunday morning or last Sunday night, wasn't the best service that we'll ever have. The best service that you can go back in your remembrance of church services was not the best one that we can have. We can have better services than that. We can have better services than the best one we've ever had, because that's Jesus. He's inexhaustible. Praise God. Praise God. So 120 were in the upper room, and it happened wonderfully. Name a woman, question 11, who is specifically mentioned in Acts chapter 1. Of course, I think we all know who it was. Verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, with his natural flesh and blood brothers, and his mother, the one that brought him into the world, the one whose person was in the Bible. She was prophesied in the Bible hundreds and hundreds of years before she was ever born. Isn't that marvelous? Mary, prophesied by Isaiah 700 and some BC, that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born of a virgin. And Mary was that virgin. Oh, and here she is now in the upper room. And her son Jesus pays a visit in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I can just see her. I can just see her as her hands are raised and they start shaking. You ever see a woman raise her hands and they're just shaking like this? I can picture Mary just shaking like that. And then I can see her maybe, just her lips are starting to tremble and move, and the Holy Ghost falls on her. And along with the other 120, she's speaking in tongues. Mary needed the Holy Ghost. Tell me anybody that doesn't need the Holy Ghost, and I'll disagree with you. They need the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, if she wasn't qualified to make it to heaven without this, if she wasn't qualified to be in the church without this, then who do I think I am that I can circumvent it and don't need it? Huh? Try that on some of your friends that go to a particular church but are hungry for God. Good people out there. Question number 12. What happened to all of those who were filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, you see, I didn't get tongues when I got the Holy Ghost. I don't like that kind of teaching. I got a different gift when I got the Holy Ghost. I got a different sign. I've dealt with those people for years and years, you know. But the Bible says this is what happened to every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And in other words, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them all utterance. It happened to everyone in the room, all of them. What caused them to speak in tongues? Acts 2:4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I don't like that teaching that they sit you in a room. And I remember a fellow from Thorpe. He was brought to a church. And he supposedly wanted the Holy Ghost. And so he couldn't get it at Pentecostal Assembly here. Tried. Couldn't get it. Couldn't get it in Thorpe. Tried. Well, he couldn't get it in Thorpe. So he said, we'll take him to Eau Claire. Surely he'll get the Holy Ghost there. I mean, that place is full of the power of God, you know. He'll get the Holy Ghost there. And so he, this is the true story now. I know the man. Tony. Okay. So they said, well, okay, we're going to take you to this charismatic meeting over here at Regis High School. And so they took him over there. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, you know. And I'm over here in the parsonage. Or was that up on Locust Street? Might have been. Anyway, so they go to this meeting. And they come back to where I live, where I was living. And they said, he got the Holy Ghost tonight. And I said, Tony, did you get the Holy Ghost? He said, yeah. See, couldn't get it in Thorpe, couldn't get it under Pastor Tamberg's ministry, couldn't get it in Pentecostal Assembly, you know, so, but you got it over there. Boy, whoa, man, I said, hey, what do you think about this? Isn't this wonderful? Yeah, really great. I said to myself, I'm suspicious. I don't think he got the Holy Ghost. So I got Tony alone, away from the people that insisted that he's going to get the Holy Ghost. I said, tell me about it. Tell me about it, Tony. He said, well, they put you in this room. They said, all right, nobody's leaving this room until they talk in tongues. He said, I was scared to death. And they laid their hands on people and gave them a few instructions. And he said, they came to me and laid their hands on me. And I was so scared. I was terrified. He said, I started calling my dog in Polish. And he said, that's it. That's it. He's got it. He's got it. He said, I didn't get no Holy Ghost. Folks, that's what's going on out there. And there's a lot of people that have been told they got the Holy Ghost. But I like this right here where he says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Capital S. The Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Don't you just love that when the Holy Ghost moves on you and takes over and you're just speaking in other tongues fluently under the unction of the Holy Ghost, anointed by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is giving you utterance. That's the kind of Holy Ghost we have, isn't it? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So what caused them to speak in tongues? Spirit gave them utterance. Number 14, what effect did speaking with tongues have on the curious multitude that gathered to observe this phenomenon? Acts 2:6. Now when this was noised abroad, hey, there's a bunch of people over there, 120 of them, and they're really acting strange, and they're speaking languages that we know they don't know, but we know, and they're talking our languages, declaring the wonderful works of Almighty God. And this was noised abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded. So the question is, what effect did speaking with tongues have on the curious multitude that gathered to observe this phenomenon? They were confounded. And that's what should be happening around here. People should come, see people get the Holy Ghost, and be confounded. And after we leave the altar, our life transformation should confound them. This guy was a drug addict. This guy was an alcoholic or a drunk. This guy was a liar. This guy was an avowed atheist. Look at him now. I can't believe it. I heard him give his testimony down on 9th Ave. I've been watching his life. He's transformed. He's different. They should be confounded until they come to the knowledge of the truth. Number 15. What did some of the multitude do and say? And they were all amazed. This is what they said. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." And that's just the way it is in the very last chapter of Acts. It says Paul preached to them all day long for 2 whole years, I believe it is. And some believed and some believed not. And that's just the way it is today. People can come here. They can watch twin girls get the Holy Ghost in the aisle here. They can see the phenomenon. They can feel the presence of God. And they'll believe it. And others will look and say, "I don't believe it." Amen. So, some thought they were full of new wine, drunk. But Peter stood up and said, "These are not drunken as ye suppose. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And this is what Joel said would happen. Praise God. And the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This should be an ongoing experience for all of us saints. We didn't run the well dry when he filled us with the Holy Ghost. It's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So, but don't be drunk with wine, the world's wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What a sure sign that someone has received the Holy Ghost. They speak to themselves in hymns, psalms, spiritual songs, just going around with a song in your heart and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many of us do that all day long? That's the way it should be with us. We should get up in the morning, "Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah." And go to bed, "Wonderful, wonderful Lord." We should wake up thinking about him. We should live all day thinking about him. And we should go to bed at night thinking about him. We should, these verses go together, one after the other. Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine or is it excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the next verse, "Speaking to yourselves." This is the sign. Speaking to yourselves. It's not just tongues. This thing goes on and lives within us and causes changes in our lives. You know, the guys go home from work and they got to stop in and get some wine. They got to stop in and get a shot of liquor, whiskey or something. They got to have a few beers under their belt before they can feel happy. And so they do this to drown their sorrows. But Paul is saying here, don't you do that to get happy. Just be filled with the Spirit and you'll be so happy. You'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Have you ever heard a drunk singing? Paul says, that's not the kind of drunk I want you to have so you can sing. I want you to be drunk on the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and go ahead and sing to your heart's content. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 and 19. We ought to read those Pentecostal brothers and sisters and stay happy. Remember, Brother Lovins just preached, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need the joy of the Lord, don't we? We need the joy of the Lord. We can't let the devil get us down, back us in a corner, throw us on the floor and stomp on us. No, we need to be singing in his face. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 16. What was Peter's response to their criticism? Acts 2:14, 15, and 16. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Oh, I'd have loved to heard Peter lift up his voice. "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." Well, that's good. I would have loved to heard Peter preach that sermon. And then what Brother Bennett preached tonight. "Know therefore, be assured, know therefore, that this same Jesus God hath made both Lord and Christ." So the answer, what was Peter's response to their criticism, is Peter corrected them. This is all in your notes, the teacher's manual. And set the record straight by quoting the prophet Joel. 17. Did any of the multitude accept Peter's explanation to this experience of speaking with tongues? Answer, yes. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And when I read the scripture, sometimes I get carried away and I read like this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized and went home happy. And found that dad and mom weren't happy and kicked them out. See, Jesus said this gospel would cause division in families. And I think about those things. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a pretty good revival. 18. To whom did Peter attribute this outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Be it known unto all the saints of Pentecostal assembly. Jesus is the only one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. No matter what church you go to, what denominational name is over the door, if you get the Holy Ghost, it'll be Jesus that gave it to you. Amen. He's the only one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:33. Question 19. Which of the five senses were involved in acknowledging the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the promise of the Father, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. So, what two senses, or what? Which of the five senses were involved? Seeing and hearing. Now, isn't that something? Some people say, one radio preacher used to say that, you don't know when you got the Holy Ghost. Nothing happened when you got the Holy Ghost. You received it by faith. And somebody else answered him and said, if you don't know when you got it, you won't know when you lost it. So which of the five senses? See and hear. See, the Holy Ghost baptism is not something that is unseen and unheard. There is something that takes place that they saw. And something they heard. They heard them speak with tongues. What did they see when those people, those 3,000 received the Holy Ghost? We know what they saw. These are not drunk. And so people make fun of Pentecostals. They're not doing it so much anymore. Because it's working. It's the only thing that's working today. Amen. I'll go on here. How did Simon in Acts 8 know that the Samaritans had received the Holy Ghost? And when Simon saw, what did he see? That through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money. Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. It must have been something dramatic, folks. It couldn't have just been, receive you the Holy Ghost. Thank you. It had to be more than that. Oh, receive you the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Oh, I want to be able to do that. Here's some money. $1,000. Will that do it? I'll make it $2,000 here. I want to be able to do that. Receive the Holy Ghost. Thank you. That's not it. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power. That's not very powerful, is it? That on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Because whenever they received the Holy Ghost, the onlookers, the observers, saw something and they heard something. Supernatural. Praise God. 21. What should be done in preparation for receiving the Holy Ghost? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. That means being so sorry for your sins, you don't do them anymore. Repent means turn around. You were going this direction. You repent, you turn around, and you go an opposite direction. 180 degree turnaround. Okay? So, he said, repent. Repent of your sins and be baptized. That means buried in water. We're buried with him in baptism. That every one of you, and there's a way to be baptized, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There it is. What should be done in preparation for receiving the Holy Ghost? Acts 2:38 will tell you. 1, 2, 3. Repent, be baptized. and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Number 22, to whom is the gift of the Holy Ghost promised? Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, to whom is the gift of the Holy Ghost promised? Everyone that will repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. There it is. Tell your friends about this. They need to hear from you. Take this lesson and go talk to them. Number 23, it has been said, how many have heard that? It was only for the apostles? Okay. But according to the Bible, who besides the apostles received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues? Listen to this, Acts 1:5. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. There's 120 right there that spoke with tongues, not just the apostles. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So it was 120, and now it's 3,000? How can people say it was only for the apostles when we got 120 speaking in tongues and we got 3,000 speaking in tongues here? They'll argue that. I have met with them. Okay, Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down... Now remember, they had already received the word of God. They had already had all kinds of miracles. They had already experienced the joy of the Lord. But when they were come down, Peter and John prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that something that, in spite of the fact that Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And he didn't say that to you, friend. He didn't say it to the world. He said it to 11 men. That's all he said it. He didn't say it to anybody else. He didn't say it to the Baptist pastor, the Presbyterian pastor, or the Assembly of God Trinitarian pastor. He didn't say it to me. He didn't say it to the Catholic priest, to the Jewish rabbi. He said it to 11 men. All the disciples, apostles, except Judas, who was dead. Okay? Now, if he said it to those men, and all of those men went out and baptized in Jesus' name, who do you think we should listen to? I think we should listen to those men, not somebody else who intercepted the message and didn't know what Jesus meant, or don't know what Jesus meant. So, what they are saying is, don't take the apostles' word. Take our word. You think the apostles know what Jesus meant? No, we know what he meant when he said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So listen to us. Don't listen to the apostles. I'm sorry. I choose to listen to the apostles. It all boils down to a choice of who's right, the apostles or everybody else who interprets it wrong. And the apostles baptized no other way than in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's all. Folks, thank God we're baptizing according to Scripture. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So they went down there, laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Okay, now how can they say it's just for the apostles? Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. How do you know when somebody's initially received the Holy Ghost? They'll speak with other tongues. And we have no other sign. That's it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so who besides the apostle received the Holy Ghost? 120, 3,000, the Samaritans, and now the house of Cornelius, and now we go to the upper coast of Ephesus, 19:6 of Acts. And when Paul laid his hands on those disciples of John the Baptist, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I want to tell you, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, it's for me, it's for you, it's for your children and their children too. It's the Holy Ghost Jesus is giving away. Why go home tonight without the Holy Ghost? You can receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Number 24. What must I do to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Repent and be baptized. We went over that. Verse 5:32, we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Everybody say obey. Obey him. 11:13 of Luke, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. Thank you. To them that ask him. You have to obey him to get the Holy Ghost. You have to ask him to get the Holy Ghost. You have to repent and be baptized to get the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm reading from the Bible. 25. When does a person receive the Holy Ghost according to Ephesians 1:13? Uh-oh. You ready for this bomb? It's Paul that said it, not me. Here's what a lot of Pentecostals need to understand. And they'll quit offending a lot of people. You know, a lot of Pentecostals have offended a lot of other people. You don't get the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. You don't get baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to hell. Going around offending people. That's not the way to present the gospel. That's like saying, do you like steak? And you say, yeah. So I go down in the freezer and I get a steak and I say, open your mouth. Yeah, blood, teeth rattling around you. I don't like your steak. That's what some people do. They don't thaw it out. They don't season it. They don't prepare it. They don't let the aroma drift out in the out of the doorway and onto the back porch or the front step where people are standing saying, mind if I come in? I'm a little hungry. You have anything to eat here? Yeah, I got a steak right on the stove here. It'll be out in a minute. Why don't you have a chair? You know? And feed them that good, good Holy Ghost. Don't present it wrongly. Don't offend people by jamming it down their throat. It's not the way to do it. We had a truck driver call different churches in town, and he called my number one Wednesday afternoon. And I answered the phone, and he started asking me a few questions. He said, I'm coming to your church tonight. He said, I've called several other churches, and I just didn't feel the witness of the Spirit. But I feel the witness of the Spirit. I'm coming to your church tonight. So he came, and I gave a two-hour Bible study. And when I was done, some of you remember this. It was down in the basement in the other church. And when I was done, I just felt led, because I talked to him a little bit about his conversion. Life was really transformed. You wouldn't believe what he was in and what God brought him out of. And I said, Michael, would you come up here and just greet the Bible study group here and give a little testimony? And for, I think it was 30 minutes, everybody sat on the edge of their chair listening to his life story. And then one of the saints and I took him out for a cup of coffee and back to his motel. His truck had broken down and he was stranded in Eau Claire and wanted to go to church. He had just received the Holy Ghost. He said, when he got us, I didn't want to say anything in church, but he said, Pastor, I want to tell you, there are some people that are of the devil. And I want to warn you, watch out for them. Watch out for them. I said, well, who on earth are they? He said, well, you know, I was with some friends of mine. We had all just received the Holy Ghost, and there was a couple of nice-looking guys walking down the street, really well-kept and well-dressed, and they had Bibles under their arms, and we went out on the porch, and they came up in, and they, you know, they could see the joy of the Lord in us, and we told them, we just got the Holy Ghost, and one of them spoke up and said, were you baptized in Jesus' name? And he said, no. And they said, you're going to hell. That's not the way to present it. That's not the way to present it. And so, I'm kicking the other guy under the table. You know? In other words, shh! You know, we're Jesus' name. And don't be bringing that up now. It's not the time. We got to calm this guy down. He said, we threw him out of the house. He said, they belong to a certain organization. And he said, look out for them. Look out for them. Really, really. That's not the way to do it, is it? I'd like to tell you something tonight. People do have something from God before they come to this church or before they speak in tongues. I say that from the bottom of my heart tonight. My mother's life was totally turned around, transformed. She loved Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, and mind. And God saw that love for him and baptized her with the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this. When does a person receive the Holy Ghost? According to Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We had a visitor here last Sunday. Sat right up here. Called me down to him. I went down. And he said, do I have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved? And I had to think fast and pray fast. And I did. And God's always there. And I said, my friend, that's all in God's plan for you. That being saved on God's part is a finished event. It's a finished thing. Jesus cried on the cross, it is finished. There was enough salvation in that cross to save the whole world. Every man, boy, girl, woman, old, young, Asian, Chinese, enough blood in those veins to save the whole world. You believe me? That doesn't mean that God doesn't have the Holy Ghost for you. Doesn't even mean you don't need it. Doesn't mean that at all. I need everything God's got for me, and I'm going after it full speed ahead. I want what God's got for me. Yes, amen. So, you know, we got a problem. We've had a problem, at least in Pentecost. People here, they got to have the Holy Ghost. And so they come with their wine bottle here and their cigarettes here and their filthy tongue and heart here. And they come to the altar, oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. When they ought to be saying, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Salvation for us is kind of a sequence of events. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he exists, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I hope I'm not bursting anybody's bubble tonight. But we need to know something. That Jesus died for our sins on Calvary. And Calvary precedes Pentecost. Always precedes Pentecost. Both historically and experientially. If you want to get the most out of the Holy Ghost, the fullest blessing out of the Holy Ghost, go to Calvary. Meet Jesus on the cross and then go to the upper room. In the seven feasts, the feast of the Passover precedes the feast of Pentecost. You have got to have faith. You get the Holy Ghost after you believe. That's what it says. See, people need to come down and repent from one end of their life to the other. Be delivered of their sin. And then get cleaned up by the blood of Jesus and then let him pour in that pure Holy Ghost and fill us up. Praise the Lord. You'll go away feeling so good. So good. Amen. We had a lady, I'm looking around, see if she's here tonight, right in this church, belongs to this church. Just couldn't get the Holy Ghost. Couldn't get the Holy Ghost. And they brought her to me. And I remembered over on the, sitting on the altar over in the other church. And I brought her to Calvary. I mean, she got the Holy Ghost just shortly after that. If anybody here is struggling to get the Holy Ghost, just back off a little bit and go back and say, oh, there's Calvary. Fall down on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Just give me another couple minutes, because the next question I think is going to lead me into something very important here. Did the Apostle Paul receive the Holy Ghost immediately upon confessing Jesus Christ as his Lord? No. This is good for us. Did the Apostle Paul receive the Holy Ghost immediately upon confessing Jesus as Lord, or at a later date? Let's read it. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord! He called him Lord. He called him Lord right there. Didn't he have a conversion right there? Didn't he have a change of heart right there? I'll tell you one thing. He had a change of tongue. And he had a change of mind right there when he was knocked to the ground. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord says, now he belongs to me. Can't you read that in there? So, I can tell him now because he's mine. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And then God talked to Ananias, convinced him that Paul was changed before he was baptized, folks. Before he received the Holy Ghost, folks, he was changed. And I don't like it when people go up to somebody that's been changed and has experienced some of the grace of God and some of the Spirit of God in that change and that transformation and tell them they don't have anything. They've got something. Met a man on the street, had one of us with me. Found out he was a Catholic. And I said, God bless you. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? Yeah. And then lead them on from there. Instead of saying, oh, cursed be thou, child of Satan. I'm trying to prove to you tonight that Paul was changed before he was baptized. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul! He didn't say, Heathen Saul! Brother Saul! This is before he was baptized, folks. Oh, it gets me! It gets me when people take a perfectly good steak and froze it. It's frozen and they jam it down somebody's throat. I don't like that. Thaw the steak out. Put it on the fire. Get the seasoning out. Amen. Draw them. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me to tell me to tell you that you've been transformed and you don't need anything else. Now, the first part of my speech tonight on this verse was to the Baptists and others who don't seem to understand. And, I mean, to the Pentecostals who don't seem to understand. And the last part of my speech, about to proceed from my mouth, is to the Baptists or any other church that thinks that's all they need is a change of mind. Got it? Okay. So, you do have something before you baptize. That doesn't mean you don't need to be baptized. He said, Paul, Brother Paul, Brother Saul, yes, you're not done yet, boy. You're not done. There's a man, Ananias, he's going to tell you some things you haven't heard yet or that you haven't received yet. And he's going to pray for you. He's going to baptize you. And you'll receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, now if I preach that you're saved when you receive Jesus as Lord, I'd be deceiving people if they stopped there. If they don't stop, it doesn't matter a whole lot what I don't tell them. If they don't stop, if they just keep going, you know what I mean? Okay. You're either all listening closely or you're all sleeping. I'm kidding. Oh, God bless you. So, Ananias did that. Paul did receive the Holy Ghost. In verse 18, when Ananias laid his hands on him, immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales and received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So he got healed. He'd already repented. You know that. When he called Jesus Lord, he'd repented. Because that's the man he was trying to destroy. The memory of that man, the doctrine of that man. Jesus, got to get rid of him. Kill anybody to stomp out that name. Now he calls him Lord. Oh, come on. Okay. I'm just about done. So Ananias goes, obedient to the Lord, prays for Saul. All in a moment's time, the guy, just think. Saul is healed of blindness, and he's baptized in Jesus' name, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost and speaks with other tongues. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Oh, listen. What I'm talking about now, I could talk about Acts 18 right now for a long time, about Apollos, who was mighty in the Scriptures and convinced many Jews that Jesus was the Christ. There's a couple of people standing, leaning on a tree, listening to Apollos, named Aquila and Priscilla. And when Apollos gets done, they perceive that he's missing something. See, he only knew the baptism of John the Baptist. By the way, the disciples at the upper coast of Ephesus were rebaptized in Jesus' name. They'd already been baptized under repentance by John the Baptist. Were they baptized wrong? No. Let me tell you something. If anybody ever tells you, and it'll be one of your Pentecostal colleagues most likely, that John the Baptist baptized wrong, that's why they had to get rebaptized in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you this. If John the Baptist baptized wrong, then Jesus Christ was baptized wrong because John the Baptist baptized him. Got it? So it's not a matter of circumcision being wrong. It's not a matter of baptism by John the Baptist being wrong. It's not a matter of Saul, the saint killer, being wrong when he calls Jesus Lord and has his life changed. It's a matter of going on. And let me tell you something else in closing tonight. Are you going on? Is there a stopping place? I spoke in tongues? No. I got it. Come on, folks. And so, well, what's going to happen to these people on Judgment Day? You know what Judgment Day depicts to me? That there's a judge.